Hello and welcome to the She Reads Truth podcast. She Reads Truth creates beautiful, accessible Bible reading plans and resources to help you get into God's Word every day. Each week here on the podcast, we talk about what we're going to read together as a community this week. I'm your host, Rachel Myers.
And I'm your other host, Amanda Bible Williams. Welcome to week 3 of our Matthew series, which is also week 6 of Lent. You all, I hope you're having such a blessed Lenten season. We love walking through Lent with you. And today we get to welcome a fellow She Who Reads Truth, member of the She Reads Truth community, Alexa Pena Vega, to the podcast. Alexa is best known for her role as Carmen Cortez in the hit film series Spy Kids.
That's right.
But she's a grown-up now. She loves Jesus. She's married to Carlos Pena Vega. They have 3 kids, 1 on the way, and she just lives a full life of still starring in movies, oftentimes opposite her husband, which is the cutest. Their most recent film together is called Never Too Late to Celebrate, released last year. They've also co-authored a lot of books, most recently Love is the Point, a 100-day devotional, 100 days of God's love for you and how to share it with those around you. Amen to that. Mm-hmm. We love Alexa. This was so fun to sit and chat with her, and I think it's going to encourage your hearts so, so much. Let's get right to it.
Alexa Pena Vega, welcome to the She Reads Truth podcast. We are so, so happy to have you.
I am beyond happy to be here. You have no idea. I have loved you girls for many, many years, so this is a dream come true for me.
Well, we love you, and I can't believe it's taken us this long to get you on the podcast because it feels like we're just already friends, so this
feels
so natural.
It does. Well, you know what? I have to say, the timing for this season is everything because my mom brain, you know, I have a 6, a 4, and a 2-year-old, and my mom brain has really struggled retaining scripture these last couple of years. You know, I've been deep in prayer. I've been like trying to read the word, but actually retaining it. I'm like, Lord, please come on. And then something happened within this last 2 months. And it was like, look, the chaos didn't change. I'm pregnant, so it definitely is harder. And then somehow it was like God just opened up a new section of my brain to just allow scripture to pour into my heart in a way that felt blocked the last couple of years. So honestly, the timing was perfect.
Oh, that's so kind of God. And I love hearing that. And the timing, you're right. That's just right.
The timing could not have been more wonderful.
Well, listen, mom brain is always welcome here because Rachel and I have it often as well. Mm-hmm. Just human brain. Also known as just human brain.
Human brain, yeah, at this point.
It is so true. It is so fun too. I remember, like, you've been a She Who Reads Truth with us for a long time.
A long time.
Yeah. And I remember connecting the dots with like, oh, it's Alexa. It's Carmen. It's like, now I know. Like, it just, anyway, it's just so fun. I told my daughter.
I feel like 6 or 8 years ago or.
It was a while ago.
It was quite a long time ago.
Yeah.
I just remember, I can't even remember who our like social media person was at the time, but I remember just like a general freaking out of like,
I remember. You guys are awesome.
Yes. Alexa follows us. Oh my goodness.
Yeah. There was much rejoicing on Slack. Yeah. Yeah. She's also a sister in the Lord. Yeah. Okay. I have a question for you, Alexa.
Please.
You know, I know you through, of course, your acting and through like social media, you know, getting to see snippets of your family life and your husband and y'all's
and your
relationship.
Boat.
Your boat.
And our boat.
I mean, how fun is that?
Listen,
are you gonna live
awesome.
On that boat?
Yeah. Okay. So 2 years ago, we've always had this dream of we love sailing. We want to sail the world. And we thought we would do it later. And just like anything lately, we're like, what are we waiting for? Why are we going to do this later? Let's do it now with our family. Let's create these memories. And we really believe in our industry. Like what kind of messes everybody up is you leave for months at a time to go film a movie. So we decided early on that we were not going to do that with our family. So we're super tight knit. Everything we do is very close together, including living on a boat. It definitely has its challenges. You know, we've been refitting it for 2 years. And if you've ever lived in a house during construction, you know the kind of not even chaos, but there's just like some just anxiousness that it breeds. Yes. And even though you're trying to fight through it, you're living in a mess.
Yeah.
Well, imagine doing that on a boat. So it's on been 2 years of that.
There's
so
no yard.
I was like, yeah. No, it was really hard. There's no yard. That was my biggest thing. I'm like, I just want to let the kids out without worrying
about
anything.
The ocean is our yard. Yes.
So finally, I'm just like, I just need a mini break. And it was kind of perfect because we had to come to California to do press. So I just said, babe, if we could just stay here at our friend Andrew's house for a few extra days, and then we can go back to the boat. Because by December 15th, everything will officially be done. And we will be sailing right from our dock. And it's very exciting.
Oh, my word. That's so exciting.
I don't think I realized you were already living on the boat full time. That is
– Yeah. Well, we split intense. Our time. Unfortunately, we live in Lahaina, the town that burned down in Hawaii.
Oh, that's right.
On Maui. So our house miraculously made it. And it kind of doesn't make sense because all the fire maps said that our house was gone. And it's there. It's still standing. Honestly, there's not even smoke damage. It's incredible.
Praise the Lord.
Wow.
But praise the Lord. Our community has been healing. The air quality over there is still really rough because nothing has been cleaned up. So there's just a lot of heaviness still there. We went back with the kids. We were serving families. We were trying to show up for people. But a lot of people are displaced right now. So most of our time is just being spent on the boat in this season.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I mean, I'm just grateful that, what a fun mode of transportation.
It is. It really is.
It really
only
gets you to
anywhere.
Coastal towns, but yeah.
No, so we can go anywhere. I mean, we're headed to the Bahamas. So over Christmas, we're going to be in the middle of the ocean. It's so exciting.
Oh, my word. I love it. So does your husband, is he the captain? Does he drive the
boat?
He is.
He's the captain. I'm the chef.
I love it.
I'm also the first mate.
I would prefer that job too.
Yeah. But no, I'm still learning a lot. I used to sail a while back, but I mean, the muscle memory is still there, but it's been a while, so he has to refresh me. But so far, everything has been going as smoothly as it can go, I guess.
There you go.
Amazing. Amazing. Well, one of the things that I wonder about, how did you come to know the Lord? Like, were you a child, or is this something that was like later in life for you? I mean, you were a child actor.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I'm just so curious to hear like a little bit of your testimony. And then we really will read the book of Matthew together.
Yeah. No, nobody worries. I'll fill you guys in. Okay. So early in my life, my mom just loved the Lord. She instilled a love for Jesus, I think right from like birth, and really like sank him into my heart till I was 6 years old. And then there was kind of this slow dissipation. I think she just kind of life happened. Also, our version of a relationship with God was kind of checking the box on Sunday morning. So even though she was doing the right things that she knew with like taking her family to church, we would go every Sunday and that was it. There really wasn't much more depth to it like there was kind of in my younger years. And then by the time I was like 12 or 13, we just stopped going to church altogether. So even though God kind of didn't become the forefront of our lives, because my mom instilled Jesus in my heart at a young age and like a real love for Jesus, I craved God. Like I knew there was more, even though nothing told me there was more, even though I had no idea that there was more of him, I knew that there was more. So I would start reading the Bible. All we had was like a King James Bible. And for a 12-year-old, that was just like, how do you even make sense of that?
What
so I was
happening?
Really trying to understand it. And I just kept praying like, God, I don't know these words. Like, help me get these words. And he was genuinely my friend. So when I turned 16, I started driving myself to church. I found a really great church called Cornerstone in Simi Valley. It was a bit of a drive, but Francis Chan was the pastor there. And then the college ministry was a man named Chuck Bomar. So as I kind of grew, I went more towards the college ministry. And then I fell off. I married a man who was not Christian. I went through all sorts of stuff in my life. I went through an eating disorder, just kind of like my rebellion kind of stage. But it wasn't even that. I think I was just so hurt and searching and still looking for that depth. Yeah. And then when I officially hit my version of rock bottom, fresh off of a divorce, just asking God, like, what have I done? Like, what have I become? I know this isn't me. And I just want you. I want more of you. What does that even look like? My friend Andrew called me and he's like, hey, I have had this Bible study that I've run out of my house for about like 4 or 5 years. I have invited you so many times. Please come. I really feel like this is the timing for you. Like, please come. And I'm like, you know what, Andrew? I will be there. So I showed up, and that's the night I actually met my now husband of 10 years. And we now, you know, 4 kids later. But Andrew, really, that night was such a pivotal moment. And from that night on, my relationship with God pivoted completely. I mean, just transformed. He just pierced my heart. Same thing for my husband. That was his first Bible study. His first Sunday service was like right before Bible study that Andrew took him to. And that's where he accepted Jesus into his heart. And I mean, it's just, it all happened for us so kind of quickly. So even though I had some of that foundation in there, I just didn't I didn't know who Holy Spirit was. Honestly, we'd be like, okay, there's God, there's Jesus, and then the weird thing that we don't talk about. Honestly, it was just kind of, you know, for somebody who didn't grow up with Holy Spirit, it just seemed like such a weird kind of, I don't know, that's for the weird Christians. That's not, that's not for us. And then you don't even realize as you grow and learn, you're like, oh my gosh, Holy Spirit is everything. It is our gift from Him. And so now my kids are all about Holy Spirit. I love
that. Oh, good. I love that. Thank you for sharing that with us. I just,
of course.
Yeah. And it just makes your love for the Lord, you know, now 10 years later, it's just so evident in the way you all live your lives and the joy that you have. And I just love knowing that kind of background and how God has been pursuing you since you were tiny.
Oh my goodness, yes.
I
mean, without a doubt. I mean, my whole family, and it's pretty amazing. And we all go through seasons. Sure. I'm one of seven kids. So we've all been through plenty of seasons and growth in our lives. But even in my family, while they might not necessarily be walking the same exact as our family has, I just see God pursuing them so deeply. Yeah. And, you know, they'll tell me these stories and I'm like, that's God. And they're like, you know what? It is God. I agree. Like, that is God.
Yeah.
So it's fun to see God working, even when maybe people don't realize it, or even when people might not realize maybe the same perspective that I have of how God is pursuing them. But I just love that He doesn't give up and He has so much grace for us. He just keeps fighting for us. And I just think of my kids. I'm like, I would fight forever for my kids.
Yes, you would. And it's such an encouragement, even just to me right now, hearing you tell your story, it encourages me regarding my children and other, you know, young people that I love and even adults that I love that are in the thick of it. You know, you just described some times in your life where you were just in the thick of it. And to know now, like to hear your testimony of how the Lord was working and pursuing you and keeping you. I love like the thought that God keeps us.
Yeah.
It's so powerful. It reminds me that that is the same God. He has that same character and compassion and patience and love for the people in my life. I mean, myself included, that He is keeping us and pursuing us. Even when it feels like we're in the thick of a season that sometimes you're in those seasons, you know, where it feels like, oh, life is just going to always be like this.
Yeah.
And,
I know
so
that too
to
well.
Know that, to know that God is still working, even when it doesn't seem like maybe He is. But thank you. Well, I'm excited to read Matthew with Alexa.
You know, it's funny as we like have these conversations, it genuinely does draw us straight into the scriptures.
Yep.
Like as we look at Matthew, we open, you know, our reading guides kind of at the tail end of chapter 13 of Matthew and then going into 14. I'm even like looking down at my pages and seeing the account of walking on water. And feeling so, you know, even what you shared, Alexa, and thinking about Peter and, you know, like, Lord, call me out. I want to be there. And then, you know, feeling the fear and sinking because he took his eyes off of the Lord. But Jesus reached out his hand and like pulled him back up.
It's pulled him up anyway.
Right. It's just, I love the way that we first go to scripture to learn what it says and to be, you know, taught, rebuked, corrected, and trained by it. But then also to go like, oh, actually, I can see a little bit of myself in that story, you know?
Well, I know as the end of 13 happens, but a little further back in 13, one of my prayers that I pray all the time is, God, give me eyes to see and ears to hear. I don't want to be like the people who hear it and see it and ignore it.
Yeah.
Because I do feel like that. I mean, I'm sure you guys have already talked about that so much, but it's just, I feel like that's so much of what we're living in right now. Can't over-talk
about it. Yeah.
I have like so many notes just on that whole, like all of 13, just being like flabbergasted at how much we can relate to that in our world right now. Mm-hmm. And it's crazy because it's just a prayer I've prayed for such a long time. I'm like, God, give me eyes to see and ears to hear. Because you've revealed so much truth to all of us, but sometimes our eyes are not working very well or our ears are not hearing clearly. And I want to hear you. Like, I don't want to be muddled up in just like constantly listening to the world or listening to people who, you know, are maybe not for you, God. Like, I just want to be focused on you not be distracted by that.
I mean, a good example of that right now, Amanda and I are in our podcast studio in Franklin. We've got a laptop in front of us with you, your lovely face on it. But behind you is just like a wall window. And we're looking out on trees and all of these things. And right now, if I focus on you, Alexa, I can also see the cars in the parking lot. I can see the trees without breaking eye contact with you. I can also see all of those things. However, I'm not perceiving them because I'm looking right here and I'm not looking. Yeah. And so then if I change what I'm looking at and I look and I can see the actual leaves on the trees, I can see the license plates on the cars. Like, it's about focus. It's like when we use that metaphor of our eyes, like, are we seeing but not perceiving? Are we hearing but not listening?
Yes.
And I love that you were just like, Lord, give me ears to truly hear and listen.
Yeah.
Give me eyes to perceive what you're showing me and give me a heart that is soft and receptive to what you're what you're saying.
Yep.
Yeah. I love that.
It helps us. I'm grateful that we have actual, like, that he was just like, use your eyes. Like, use this as an exercise and truly understand that this is real.
Well, I just love that he knows so much that, like, you guys are going to see things and hear things, but you're going to miss it. Like, he knows us so well to literally warn us say, hey, you guys are going to miss it. Mm-hmm. And I totally get that even with my kids. You know, I'll have to tell them something 3 or 4 times. And I'm like, hey. Hey, I just said it. What did I say? Oh, sorry. Will you say it again? And I'm like, you know, you looked at me when I said it.
Technically,
so I know
I heard it.
You were kind of listening, but exactly. And again, gosh, becoming a mom has really transformed my understanding and my walk with God so much. So much. It's just given me a lot more understanding of his grace and his love for us and his patience. And that's just like a little bit of what God has to feel for us, I'm sure.
Yeah. I love that this doesn't come until Matthew 20, so later in our week on Thursday, I guess. But there are a couple of instances where there are two blind men by the road and Jesus heals them. But this particular instance, you know, they're on the side of the road and they're crying out, have mercy on us, son of David. And the crowd's telling them to be quiet. And they cried out, you know, even louder, Lord, have mercy on us, son of David. And verse 32 says, Jesus stopped, called them and said, what do you want me to do for you? And they said, Lord, open our eyes. Moved with compassion, Jesus touched their eyes. Immediately they could see and they followed him. So I love, Alexa, that that is a prayer of your heart because I think that is appropriate. Like, we can do our best to focus on the right things, and we should, right? Yeah. We should. I mean, Scripture calls us to that kind of posture and says things like, pay attention, be on guard, you know, all of that. And also we know that, you know, there's a very real sense when it comes to like a soul and a heart level where we need Jesus to supernaturally open our eyes to see the kingdom.
100%. And I think when you say supernaturally, I feel that so much. The industry that we're in is a very heavy, heavy industry. And the best way I can explain it is, you know, and I feel so badly, I'm not trying to put down the industry. I'm not trying to put down California. But there's something that happens every time I land here. And I feel like I'm like walking through fog. It's the best way I can describe it. Like, it's just kind of muddy walking through here. Not like something you can see, but spiritually, I just sort of feel like I'm having to push through a foggy, foggy place to really make sure I can like see what's going on around me and see people and reach people. And I've always felt that way. And I don't know if that makes sense what I'm kind of describing right now, but there are other places like where I'll land and I'll be like, oh gosh, it just, you know, when I'm home in Hawaii, we'll land and we're just like, whew, it feels fresh here. It feels, you know, just like the wind has just taken away all of the junk and the mess. That doesn't mean it's not on the island, but it's just taken it away. And I feel like this peace. I definitely feel like I am at work when I land in California. And I think because there's so much that goes on here, there's so much that comes out of here that reaches the world.
Yes.
And I feel like because it's such a hub, it does require some real supernatural vision, some real supernatural hearing to be able to kind of push through the mud and reach people in a place that's so dense.
Yeah. Yeah. I love that you guys are like, you both said supernatural, and like, that's the thing. Like there is a battle and it is at play. And you pointed out really beautifully, so much comes from that very dense area out into the whole world. Yeah. And so I'm grateful, Alexa, that you're there.
And
that people like you are there and going like, no, this fog is worth pushing through and worth like being present. And it's not something, if I can, you know, walk with the Lord and not flee and instead press in, thank you for doing that. Because what you're doing, like in the same way that very hard things and very terrible things can come from that place, very beautiful and light can come from that place. And so I'm grateful that you're a light there, Alexa.
Oh, thank you. Thank you, thank you, thank you.
Be encouraged.
I'll take the encouragement. Are you kidding me?
Yes.
I think that what you described is actually evidence that God has granted your prayer, that like, give me eyes to see, because I think that like that you perceive can probably be perceived in any of our states if we have the eyes to see it.
That's
and
right,
I think that it speaks to the way that the Lord has really kind of called you all as a family, you know, to stay in that industry and to be present. And, you know, the Bible teaches us there's spiritual warfare happening. I mean, if we're going to talk Holy Spirit, let's just go for it and also talk spiritual warfare.
Yeah,
like it's happening all around us all the time.
Amen.
And to the extent that if we did have eyes to see it all the time, I don't know that I could function. But I do think, right? Like, and I think it's a gift.
He protects us from that, which, like, thank God he protects us from that, because what a nightmare we would truly be living in.
Yeah.
But having that awareness and remembering and knowing, especially in our marriages, because I really feel like I can't tell you how many times we have had the not conversation to leave the industry, but we're like, oh my gosh, like it's hard. It's a tough place to be. And even though I love what we do, I've really had to wrestle with God, just like, it's just not the same anymore. I don't feel the same way I used to about it as I did when I was younger, because so much has changed. But what I noticed was happening was there is now just a very large gap where like it's extreme on like one side of movie making and filmmaking. And then you have not necessarily like Christian films, but you have the kind of movies and projects that we want to be a part of, like light, joyful, you know, things that give the world life.
Yeah.
And now there's a very large gap. But what I'm noticing happening is that people are wanting that light so much more. And you can see it in the reflection of box office numbers. You can see it in the reflection of like what the ratings are on TV. So people are wanting it. And even though the execs and all the people that are putting the funding behind the projects, they might not be there yet, but all the people who make the money are seeing it and they want to make money. That's their goal.
Interesting.
So I will say the call for his light is happening whether people realize it or not. Mm, so it is all happening, but we are in a spiritual battle. And I really do feel like, you know, if I ever get in a kind of tiff with my husband, you know, I used to be like, oh my gosh, this is so annoying. Why is he acting this way? But I've really approached it in a different way. I'm like, okay, are we hearing whispers or misunderstanding each other? Like, is this the muddy water? Is this the fog that I have to push through because I'm missing something or he's missing something? So even in our disagreements, I just still have so much more grace than I used to have. I mean, I feel like I've always been a pretty easygoing person, so I would never like get loud or fight, but I just have so much more peace. I would just say it's his peace. Yeah. I have so much more peace at like, oh God, I think there's just some misunderstanding here. So I need your clarity, because this seems like it's spiritual warfare coming in. This isn't actually me versus my husband right now. This is this is us versus the junk that's trying to get into our marriage.
Yeah, yeah. I love the way you're describing this because, you know, what we're reading this week is Jesus, you know, just walking through the culture mm-hmm. in which he lived on earth and being who he is mm-hmm. and how that interplayed with the people around him, like the people closest to him, his disciples, his family, but then also like the culture that he was in, the religious culture and beyond, yeah. right? And so yeah. even still on Monday, this week is so packed, you all, you're going to have the best week of reading because there's so much. I'm not even going to pretend that we can talk about even a fourth of it. But
from a word count perspective alone, not to mention the density of the right. stories and all of those things.
Yeah.
Like, yeah. Settle in.
This week, we get to read both accounts of Jesus feeding multitudes yeah. with very little, right? And it reminds me of this, Alexa, because we're like, you know, here we are. We are called to follow Jesus. And it can be overwhelming to be a Jesus follower, a person who wants to live according to the kingdom of heaven here on earth, mm-hmm, where mm-hmm. the fog is prevalent, right? And so I love these stories, and I love that we get to read them really close together in terms yeah. of just like timing yeah. this week as yeah. we're reading, because you get to see how the disciples, first of all, you get to see how Jesus is caring for the crowds, which is so tender and shepherd-like.
Yeah.
And then you get to see how the disciples, not once or twice, but I think three times, kind of have a conversation of like, but we only have this.
Yes.
Right. You know, like we only right. have this to offer.
Yeah.
And
which is funny because you're like, oh, they would have learned the first time, but how often do
second.
We do that? Yeah. We do that all the time. Uh-huh. We're like, so I feel like all we could get really judgy reading the Bible. Like, how could 100%. They miss that, right?
What's wrong with you guys?
But then if you like think of your life, hold on, I have to say something because this blew my mind. I've read this, I can't tell you, like countless times, but this is what I yeah. love about the Bible. Every time you read it, depending on the season, depending on mm-hmm. your clarity, you just get mm-hmm. so many new things. So I read about, you know, in 14, everything that happens with John the Baptist, and Jesus is just, you know, hurting and devastated, right? Which is why he goes to get away.
Right.
And then it goes right into Jesus feeding the 5,000. So he goes to get away to grieve, right?
Yes. Mm-hmm.
And he's not even given an opportunity to grieve because everybody's yes. following him. And then he has to feed 5,000 people. And without hesitation, without like saying, like, guys, I just need a minute, right? Like this yeah. just happened. He doesn't send everybody away. And instead, he feeds 5,000 people. He literally like makes them grow in their faith. Like, you know, the whole Jesus, we don't have enough. Like, yes, you do. Yes, you do. Just break yes, the bread. Do. Break the bread, you
yeah.
know?
Yeah.
I am the bread of life. And let me show right. you physically what that is.
There's yes. that invitation that we see all through Matthew where he's like, bring it to me.
Yeah.
What yes. you have that isn't enough, bring it to me.
Bring yeah. it to me and I'll make it enough. But it just blew my mind because I never caught that he was grieving when this happened. I just always kind of was like, oh yeah, Jesus yeah. was just healing people and doing miracles and stuff. Like I just had kind of like a Sunday school version of it, not yeah. the, oh yep. my gosh, his heart. I can't even imagine what he was going through. Right.
And you have to think about his relationship with John the Baptist because, like, yes, he baptized Jesus. Like, we know that. Yeah. But like, this is like the last Old Testament prophet. Like, this is his cousin. We don't know exactly like family right. relationship, but we have like Mary, we have Elizabeth, and we have like John the Baptist leapt in his mother's belly when yes. Mary, who was carrying Jesus, like came near. Like yeah. this yes. relationship was yeah. no joke. And so this is like, you're not wrong, Alexa, like the grief that Jesus, and he demonstrates it later when, you know, his friend Lazarus dies. Like
yeah.
he
yeah.
feels just deeply and yet pours out.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. I mean, it was just, it really blew my mind. I have like goosebumps talking about it and yeah. thinking about it. It's not even that I have so much to say on it. It just right. really made me sit and yeah. go, wow. I mean, I can't tell you how I often, agree. You know, we go through, you know, a little hard time and it's really easy to just feel sorry for yourself. Mm-hmm. And not that you shouldn't grieve, like you should absolutely take your time to grieve, but watching how Jesus was like, I'm going to just keep serving. Because mm-hmm. I know, like, I know what serving brings. And just a quick tangent, my best friend Andrew, whose house I'm in right now, he was a refugee from Afghanistan. So he grew up Muslim in a Muslim home, had a very rough upbringing. His family's amazing, amazing now, but just, you know, like moving to America, not knowing the language, and was bullied a lot. He actually attempted suicide 2 times. Mm. And both he had miraculous interventions. And the last one, he's like, I don't know how to explain it other than it was like it was an angel because the person was gone. Like the person saved me. Wow. And then they were not there. And he's like, I had an encounter that I can't explain. So he ended up going to church and following Jesus. But the thing that got him out of depression, the thing that got him out of himself, he said, was serving, because serving gave him purpose. Serving made him feel full. Watching other people find joy in what he could bring them, he suddenly felt like he had something to give the world. Whereas before, he felt so empty, and he just kept looking inward and inward and inward. And I kind of think that's a lot of what's, I don't want to put it all down, but like what's wrong with the world is we have so many self-help books. And while yes, they can be important for seasons that you go through, the looking into self, I think, is what's causing the problem, because we are looking so hard into ourselves that we're missing everyone else. And I'm just seeing like how Jesus, instead of just really grieving and like wallowing in that, which he had every right to, he went out and he served, and he continued to give that purpose of, he was mission led. And I just think so much like if we stayed focused in that kingdom hearted mission, even in the darkest hours, we would feel his like relief in our heart. We would feel that peace in our heart. And I think it really does come back to serving.
Yeah. Yeah, that's right. It's funny what you're saying, Alexa, plus what Amanda said, where she was like, you know, seeing him serve the crowds and like that act of like shepherding. When you look at what you pointed out in chapter 14, the narrative alone of what's happening, we have, you know, John the Baptist is beheaded and his head is brought to Herod, and the disciples find out, they bury him, and then they go and report it to Jesus. So Jesus learns this, he's deeply troubled, and then he goes to feed the 5,000. And then you get down to, I think, verse 22, immediately he made the disciples, so right after feeding the crowd, immediately he made the disciples get into the boat and go ahead of him to the other side while he dismissed the crowds. After dismissing the crowds, he went up on a mountain by himself to pray.
Yeah.
Well into the night, he was there alone. Like, it's just like one thing after another.
Hey friends, Amanda here. Did you know that our friends at Healing Hands International have provided access to clean drinking water for more than 2 million people around the world? Through this work, HHI has witnessed firsthand that when women have access to clean water, they no longer spend their days walking and searching for water. Can you imagine? It allows for more time with their children and their families. It allows for more energy to be put into education and businesses that can provide income for their families. And this is where the Women of Hope program comes in. By offering business education, vocational training, even access to small business loans, Healing Hands International is giving women the opportunity to transform their present circumstances and create opportunities for their families to flourish. And most importantly, it's all done in partnership with local churches who are sharing the good news of the gospel. This Lenten season, as we are being reminded by Scripture to remember God's faithfulness to us, we have an opportunity to reflect His goodness to thousands of souls in need around the world. So will you stand with us and Healing Hands International as their Clean Water and Women of Hope programs collaborate to offer total transformation to one special village in southern Kenya? Join us by visiting hhi.org/truth. Together we can make a tangible difference around the world in Jesus' name. That's hhi.org/truth.
It's a theme through the Gospels, and we see it so much in Matthew. It starts to catch on, right? And everywhere he goes, crowds are following him, and they're bringing everyone who needs any type of healing to him, you know, spiritual, physical, you know, things that are incurable, like just bringing everyone to him. And time after time, it says that he stops, he heals everyone that they bring. And
yeah.
I think it's such a picture of the gospel that, you know, Jesus, the invitation is to come to him any condition. And he is the source of life and healing and salvation, and it is always available. And so when I think of it that way, it makes sense that he didn't kind of put a cap on how much healing he was going to do when he was on earth, because it is representative, it seems, of like the ultimate healing that we all get. And so it's just so beautiful when I think of those people approaching him as us with all of our physical and emotional and, you know, all of our wounds.
Yeah.
And he just welcomes us in. It's so powerful.
If you notice too, you know, we're in such like a hurry up, let's go. Nobody interrupt us. Nobody bother us. Like if we have to go somewhere, if something stops us from getting from point A to point B, we kind of get annoyed. We're like, oh, like I just have to get there. Well, if you look at all of his miracles, all of his miracles happened in the interruption. I mean, he was on his way to go be alone. He was interrupted and he fed 5,000. Like every time he was on his way somewhere and he just continually got interrupted. And instead of being like, yo, I have to get to where I need to go first, that's more important. The emphasis wasn't on where he had to go. The emphasis was on like, what are your needs right now? And I will meet them. Yeah. That was a big one for me when I realized that, because I don't like getting interrupted in that way.
That is a big thing to note. I mean, even you think about like last week, and you read this in Mark 2, but like the, you know, on his way to like heal Jairus's daughter and the woman touches the hem of his garment.
Yes.
Like this miracle happens in the like.
He stops.
It's an abrupt like, I'm going to stop. Like, actually, I'm going to be here right now.
Yeah. And he had to go do something big, you know?
Yeah. And like a whole crowd was waiting to see the big show.
Well, really important. And like someone's life was on the line.
Mm-hmm. That, yeah,
right?
That's my point.
Or so it would seem.
Yeah. And he still was like, oh, that's okay. It's okay to be interrupted right now. It blows my mind.
That's good.
It reminds me of a song that I've been listening to recently, and we'll link to it in the show notes. It's on an album called Sanctuary Songs, which is just a lot of different artists singing. But they're very, I don't know, there's something really like worshipful and reverent about the songs. But the one that I'm thinking about, I can't remember the title of it, but Andrew Peterson sings it. And the chorus is, I want to be where my feet are. I want to be where my feet are. Mm. And then the bridge, it says, the ground below me is how you hold me. I want to be where my feet are. And it's like, I think it's called centering prayer. I just remembered, but I'll link to it. You guys can listen to it if you want. But like, what a powerful prayer. And also in the way of following Jesus, like the trust inherent in him being where his feet were and not rushing to the next thing and modeling like trust in the Father of like, I trust that the Father, you know, that ultimately my mission here is going to be fulfilled by obeying the Father. And, you know, when we think of that as following Jesus and trusting Jesus, it's like, well, if I'm meant to get there, I'll get there. Mm-hmm. And I know that it's hard to like balance, because I immediately, my other part of my brain is like, yeah, but you got to be responsible for the place
right,
that you're supposed
to be in.
Right,
of course, of course.
Which you are.
I like
you
that know? The other half of your brain has like a comical
talks like
voice.
This.
I like
it. I'm sorry about that. I'm very sorry about that.
No, don't apologize.
No, do not apologize for that. That is excited. So good. You got to keep that.
Yeah.
No, it's definitely wild. You know, something that challenged me when I was reading this was, it's later, 16:22, when Jesus is predicting his death. I was like, oh my gosh, I'm Peter. I would be Peter. I feel like I'm Peter so often. Where I'm just like, if I heard somebody saying something like this, I would immediately be like, absolutely not. Do not say that. No way. Because, you know, it's something that's negative. Yeah, we'd be like, I rebuke that. And it really challenged me, because he's like, get behind me, Satan. And I'm like, whoa, that's huge.
That is strong.
That's really, really huge. And Peter loved Jesus. Did anything, would give anything for Jesus. And he's telling him, get behind me, Satan. I'm just like, but I would have done that again and again. Yeah. Like, I would have been like, Jesus, what are you talking about? Get behind me, Satan. Like, no, what are you saying? You know? Really, I'm still grappling with that.
And what we've learned here is, don't rebuke things that Jesus says.
Right. Yeah. No, do not. Yeah. Do not.
So, you got it. Okay, cool. Well, but he says, you know, after saying, "Get behind me, Satan," he says, "You are a hindrance to me because you're not thinking about God's concerns, but human concerns."
Yes.
And like, that's,
operating,
I love that
in the flesh.
He doesn't just end with, "Get behind me, Satan," but he's like,
"No,
let me help you." Right? Like, I need you to be thinking about God's concerns because that's why I'm here and that's why I want you to be here with
yes.
me. Right?
Well, and the thing is, the human, Peter's human concern right there is not bad. Like, he doesn't want his friend, you know, like, but it reminds me
that
of when we read.
That was kind of his eye-opening thing.
Yeah. We read last week in Matthew 12 where Jesus says, "Anyone who is not with me is against me. Mm-hmm. And anyone who does not gather with me scatters." So, like, I think that's what this moment is. It's like, no, Peter, if you're following me, like, I'm the one that's dictating where we're going.
Yeah.
If you get in the way of that, like, that's not with me. That's against
right.
me. And
yeah. right.
ultimately, the one who is ultimately against Jesus is Satan.
Yeah.
And so, but that is a strong moment.
Not that that would happen like right now. Like if somebody said something like that, I would be like,
sure.
you know, obviously like just like Peter, no, don't say stuff like that. Right.
Right.
But it just makes you wonder how often, which is often, are we really operating out of the flesh instead of like, I mean, obviously if somebody says something heavy like that, that's a different thing. But just how often are we kind of people pleasing in that way of like, no, like don't think that. Like, I know I've tried to butter people up who have been going through a hard time where I wonder if maybe I should have just like been listening a little better and asking God, like, what is it that they really need to hear? Not what my flesh wants to tell them, but what is it that you need them to hear?
Yeah.
But I think my first instinct is to do what Peter did.
Yes.
And that would be to like, no, absolutely not. Instead of just like pause and think like, okay, God, what am I supposed to say here?
Yeah. What are you doing here, God?
Yeah.
Like, what is it?
Yeah.
How can I align with you?
That's good. Operating like out of the flesh. It's interesting. We go from straight from there into verse 24. Is that where you were headed, Amanda?
Yeah. I was going to point out too that there's, which leads into the section that you're talking about, Rachel, there is a really kind of decided like shift in the Matthew narrative. At this section that we're discussing, at verse 21 in chapter 16, where it shifts to Jesus pretty blatantly like announcing his journey to the cross announcing what is coming. And then along with that, kind of cluing the disciples in more clearly as to what discipleship to him is going to mean, which is where you were headed, Rachel.
No, but I love that you pointed that out. Verse 21, from then on, Jesus began to point out to his disciples that it was necessary for him to go to Jerusalem and suffer many things from the elders, chief priests, and scribes, be killed, and be raised on the third day. And that's where Peter took him aside and was like, oh, Lord, no, like this will never happen. So that's where we have been kind of talking in that like Peter exchange. But Amanda, I'm really glad you pointed that out because that's where the book of Matthew kind of takes that shift. And that's where we as readers are now taking a shift. We're now kind of starting to look toward Jerusalem and the way that, you know, Jesus will actually set his face toward Jerusalem.
Yeah.
But it just becomes, we talked last week about the messianic secret and how the timing mattered. And like, my time has not yet come. And we even get to read in Galatians, like that at the right time, Jesus was born at the right time, Christ died for us. And so that's where we follow that with Peter's exchange with Jesus. And then verse 24, then Jesus said to his disciples, and he's just getting like the parables are kind of past and we're getting into, here's what I want you to know. Alexa, do you want to read this, verse 24 through 26?
Yes. Then Jesus said to his disciples, whoever wants to be my disciple must deny themselves and take up their cross and follow me. For whoever wants to save their life will lose it. But whoever loses their life for me will find it. What good will it be for someone to gain the whole world yet forfeit their soul? Or what can anyone give in exchange for their soul? Oh my gosh.
Right? It's just like he's kind of taking Peter's chin in his hand and just kind of lifting it. Just like, I want you to see things.
Yep.
I get what you're saying, Peter. I want you to see this the way I see it.
Yeah. Y'all, speaking of being Peter, because Alexa, we've never had this discussion, obviously, because we've never spoken to each other in person before today. But Peter is my guy, like in good ways and bad, I think, yeah. Like mostly bad. Like I just relate to him so much. But yeah. Listen to that, like the transfiguration, y'all.
The transfiguration, comma, y'all.
I'm going to make a t-shirt, the transfiguration, y'all.
Transfiguration.
It is, like, talk about him starting to make things clear.
Mm-hmm.
This event, and Peter, he takes Peter, bless mm-hmm. Peter, the rock on whom, and he'll mm-hmm. say that later too, the rock on whom I will build my church. But Peter, James, and John get to go to this mountain. Jesus is taking them, and they're like the inner circle, so they don't know what's happening. They're like, oh, yeah, we get to go somewhere with Jesus.
We're going on a little field
trip. So they go up this mountain, and you guys, listen to this. This just blows my mind every time I read it. Matthew 17, verse 2, he was transfigured in front of them, so transformed in mm-hmm. front of them, and his face shone like the sun. His clothes became as white as the light. And then, okay, so that alone, like
that
something supernatural, Jesus.
I have goosebumps while you read this, literally goosebumps.
Because Matthew is showing Jesus is showing himself, right, mm-hmm. to be mm-hmm. the Son of God, to be the Messiah. So,
and then what happened, Amanda?
And then, insert all of the, like, mind-blowing emojis. Suddenly, Moses and Elijah appeared to them, talking with him, with Jesus. And so, it's too much. It's too much to imagine in one moment.
Like, and you can't blame Peter for getting it a little wrong again.
And bless Peter. Peter said to Jesus, Lord, it is good for us to be here. We're good to be in the house of the Lord today. It's good for us to be here. If you want, just a suggestion, if you want, I will set up three shelters here.
I happen to be a tent maker.
One for you, one for Moses, and one for Elijah. I mean, Jesus can't even answer him because, like, when he's still speaking, suddenly a bright cloud covers them, and a voice from that cloud said, "This is my beloved Son with whom I am well pleased. Listen to him." Mm. And, of course, when the disciples heard this, they fell face down and were terrified.
Yeah.
It's too much. I don't even know where to start.
I mean, go, Alexa. Just listen.
Okay, well, first off, I just love Peter so much.
Right?
That he thinks that he has something to give in this moment. But I think it's coming from the best intention, right? Bless his heart.
It is.
But again, I go back to my 3-year-old or my 4-year-old. Like, if I have guests over or something, you know, I could totally see them being like, I'll set the table, mommy. And you're like, it's okay. We're not going to do anything right now, baby. Like, we're just talking. We're not going to eat food. But, you know, they're like, don't worry. I've got this. Thank goodness I'm here because I can set the table. Mm-hmm. And Jesus knows this. God knows this. Like, it's literally that childlike mentality.
Yeah.
And that's all we are. And it's funny because the more I learn and read, the more I realize I don't know. I mean, I'm telling you, it's the weirdest thing. Yeah. The more and more I learn, I'm like, we know nothing. We know nothing. But it's really awesome because, one, I can't imagine what that feeling was, you know, feeling that, like, that just bright light and experiencing a sliver of heaven like that, right? Mm-hmm. I once locked myself in my prayer room and I was like, God, here's the deal. I need you so badly right now. And it wasn't even like a hard time in my life. It was just I needed God. Like I just wanted him. I wanted no distractions, nothing. I'm like, so I'm going to sit in here and I'm not leaving this room until I make sure that I like encounter you. So I literally put 3 chairs in there. I was literally Peter. I set up a chair for God. I gave Holy Spirit a chair. I gave Jesus a chair. And if you could have seen me, a fly on a wall, I looked like a crazy lady because I was just going back and forth to each chair, just having a conversation. And I'm sitting here with them right now and just going back and forth, these conversations. And I was in that room for 8 hours. And I cannot tell you guys, I felt like I was floating. I've never felt anything like that experience before. I've never had another experience like that. Also, the seasons we're in, I don't necessarily have 8 hours that I can lock myself in a room right now. But it was just wild. And that is nothing compared to what they saw. But I remember deeply how I felt in that prayer room.
But I think that you're right. Like Jesus was revealing himself to you in that moment, even more of himself, right, than you had previously experienced. And that is what he's doing. And the messianic secret takes a turn here too, because as they were coming down from the mountain, of course, they had questions, which is really fun to research if you ever have a minute. But he says to them in verse 9, don't tell anyone about the vision, except this time, he says, until the Son of Man is raised from the dead. Mm. So this time he's like,
you can tell this, but
you're going to tell about this.
Yeah.
There's going to be a time where you're going to tell about this.
Okay. I want to go back for just a second because something that you said, Alexa, connected with me so much. You were talking about your kids and like when people come over and literally Sunday, I was in my dining room going through like our sideboard looking for place card holders or place cards themselves. Yes. And I found this stack of, 14 and they are just scrawled, like names spelled wrong, like just like handwriting terrible. And I remembered when those were created. It was, probably 6 years ago when my daughter was, 7 years old and we were having Thanksgiving and I had set, if I do say so myself.
Oh, you're the best at this. I know exactly.
A beautiful table.
100% accurate.
I had it on lock, let me just say.
Yes,
and she's
girl.
Like, oh my word, I want to be like my mom. Like, I love what she's doing and I want to be like her and I want to participate in what she's doing. I want to do that too. She's like, can I do the place cards? And I was like, yes, absolutely.
Yeah, you can.
Like, you sit down, you think of everybody's name and you can just like sound it out and scrawl it out. And she did, and I still have those. The most beautiful thing at that table was her little, like, because she participated.
Her way of spelling people's names.
Right. I mean, just a wreck. And I just, like, when you said that, Alexa, I drew that connection, and I was just like, oh, it's like Hazel at six drawing, like, place cards. Yeah. Like, I want to be about the work of my mom, in this case, my parent. I want to do what she was doing. I want to be like her, and I'm going to get, it's not going to look perfect, but I hope she includes me. And I just think about
how. Isn't that funny that you're like, that was the best part of the table?
Right.
And it was an absolute mess, but it was the best part of the table.
And we just like, I just think how like, I'm sure that God sets the table, right? But he lets us get to be like, can we do the place cards? Can we help?
Well, but this is a picture. Us. This is a picture of the gospel. That is exactly what we bring to the table, y'all.
Yes.
Is we are.
Scrawlies, poor spelling.
And yet the Lord.
Colors aren't right.
Invites us to the marriage supper of the Lamb.
That's
like the Lord invites us to a life of abundance. And Alexa, you said something in your questionnaire that we send all of our podcast guests ahead of time. You said something to the effect of like, you love how, the Christian walk, it's not always easy, but it is simple. Like at its core, it's simple. It's an invitation.
Yeah. I think, we as people want to make things complicated. We want to sound smart. We want to sound way smarter than we are, right? We want to have all of the verses. I think we should have verses memorized. I think we should know all the verses. But, I think really ultimately it comes down to it is simple. Like you follow the Lord. Like what he laid out is simple. The walk is not simple, but what he laid out for us is simple. And thank God he made it simple.
Yeah.
Because if he didn't, like, we fail now and it's simple. Yeah. I can't imagine what we would do if we did have to jump through all these hoops and things. But it just makes me laugh. And I love the analogy that you use of your daughter setting those things because I feel like that is so us all the time. And with such confidence, right? Mm-hmm. She probably did it with such confidence and put those little name cards in the table. And that's how we are. We're like, with such confidence, we go forward and like, yes, God, we did this today. And so proud of ourselves. And he's got to be like, oh, bless.
And I'm so glad she didn't be like, I would only mess it up. Like, I'm so glad that she didn't just go like, if you'll let me in, I want in. Right?
Yes.
I mean,
it's beautiful.
Fishes and loaves. The Lord takes our offerings.
I mean, the number of
offerings
times we read this week, just like there's a literal line probably midway through the week where Jesus, they're worried about bread again. They're one of the three times. And he says, what do you have? I think that's his sentence.
Yeah.
And I just think, that's our invitation. Like, what do you have? It's not, what can I amass in order to be able to participate in the kingdom? It's what do you have right now? And can you bring it to me? I am the one who walks on water. I am the one who multiplies your gifts. I am the Son of God.
Did you catch this later when he's talking about in chapter 16, before the stuff we talked about earlier? They were talking about how we didn't bring any bread.
Yeah.
Again, a third time. Yeah. And there's not a huge crowd this time.
But they're like, oh, shoot, we forgot our lunches.
Oh, it says in 16:8, aware of this, Jesus said, you of little faith, why are you discussing among yourselves that you do not have bread? Don't you understand yet? Don't you remember the 5 loaves for the 5,000 and how many baskets you collected? Or the 7 loaves for the 4,000 and how many large baskets you collected? Why is it you don't understand that when I told you, beware of the leaven of the Pharisees and the Sadducees, it wasn't about bread? Then they understood that he had not told them to be. Anyway, he's talking about a different kind of parable that he uses. But but I love that. Like, don't you get it yet? This is...
Don't you remember?
I'm the bread.
I love seeing that word remember.
Yes.
I mean, like, we've had so much conversation about, like, remember what he has done. We came out of that People of Remembrance series going, like, we have to remember, we have to write it down, and we have to share it, right?
Yeah.
Otherwise, we'll forget again.
But that's what's crazy to me is, you know, you read this, and you're like, dummies? Like, how do you forget that? But that is us. Like, I can't tell you how many times I'm like, oh, sorry. You know, you catch yourself thinking,
I remember.
If our stories were written and somebody else was reading it, they're like, did she really do that again? Like, did she not learn the first 3 times or see what he was doing in her life the first 3 times? And now she's finally getting it. It's just, it's so funny. And again, I think that goes back to, you know, we're like children. We do operate out of the flesh. We try to operate out of Jesus, out of, you know, Holy Spirit, being Holy Spirit led. But we're weak. We're super weak. Yeah. We're forgetful. I can't tell you how often I'm like, oh, babe, I'm so sorry. I forgot. Like, I need to remind myself. Mm-hmm. So, you know, the biggest thing I always tell people, I'm like, when you wake up in the morning, don't turn your phone on. Don't do anything. Just be with God. Even if you only have 2 minutes, if you only have 2 minutes, just give it to God. And it goes back to the eyes to see, ears to hear. Help me, like, just give thanks, give so much thanks, all the praise, as much praise as you can. And then don't stop talking to him all day long. And that was something I started doing with my kids. And at first it was kind of weird because I love my prayer time to myself. Or, you know, if we're having a group prayer, it's like very clear, like, okay, guys, we're going to pray. But I realized my kids are only going to understand what a relationship with God looks like when I'm showing them what it looks like, not just telling them. So I just started praying all the time out loud, out of nowhere. So I'll be cleaning something and I'll be like, oh, you know what, God, if you could just help me with it in there. But then they hear that. So now they pray all the time for anything and everything. And at first I felt like, oh my gosh, like my husband would walk in and be in the middle of like randomly talking to God. And I would apologize like, oh, sorry, I was just praying. And I realized, like, what am I apologizing
for?
Like,
apologizing?
This is exactly what I'm supposed to be doing. So it's just become this normal thing that Alexa's just always talking to God. And I love, I love that because I feel like we need that. We need to constantly be in communication with him. We need to constantly be reminded because we do forget. We will slip up. And even in all of that talking and praying with God, I slip up like crazy. Like I'm constantly just like a child, you know? But
it's funny. My pastor's wife, I think, was the one that taught me this. We do flyby prayers in our family. Like she's like, stop saying, can I pray for you? Like, because I used to be like, hey, Ollie, can I pray for you right now? Or Hazel, can I? And she was like, don't ask. Just like put your hands on them
do
and start
it.
Talking to God out loud. Like he'll be at the refrigerator and as I'll walk past, I'll put my hand on him and talk to the Lord about him for a minute and then keep going. I mean, so right now with your little kids, they're watching you commune with the Lord. And as they get bigger, you just have to grab them when they're physically in the room. Also, you can pray for them when they're not there, but you want them to hear
their
mom talking to their God and her God about them, right? And so we just, I mean, I'll do it whenever I can. And I've stopped asking permission, which I think was very, very good advice.
Yeah, I love that.
But I think also what you said about remembering / forgetting and all of those things, our guest in episode 1 of our Lent series, which was in our People of Remembrance series, Lindsay Jacoby works here at She Reads Truth. She said something that feels super relevant also. She said, so often we want to learn a new thing when what we need is to remember the thing we already learned.
Ooh.
And I feel like that's where we are, right? Just like
that was
you
gold.
Don't need to, like, you want to learn a new thing. You forgot the last thing you learned, right?
It's so – have you guys ever opened up – I don't know if you guys journal a lot, but old journals or like notes in your Bible where you're like, I don't ever remember writing this, but this is really good.
And I really need that.
And I completely forgot.
Yes, I really need that. And I think that's exactly what it is. Like, yeah, we write it down. It's amazing. But, you know, sometimes we don't always take the time we need to really digest it, depending on the season that we're in, or, you know, years go by and you just need that refresher. But I think she nailed it. It goes right back to, got to remember that old thing that you already learned.
Yeah. Well, and the theme of this whole conversation is, it is about the thing we need is not knowledge of Jesus. The thing we need is the person of Jesus. Mm-hmm. We need that relationship. And so I absolutely have those moments where I look back at something that I've written and I can remember that, like, it felt like such an aha moment. And then it feels different later, but it's because it wasn't just the, like, piece of knowledge or understanding. It was a connection point. Those words that I wrote represent, like, a connection point with God and the Spirit and understanding, like, who Jesus is. And so it's one of the reasons I think that this season that we're in the season of Lent, you know, we're a couple weeks from the main event, from celebrating the resurrection of Jesus. But the reason that the season is so impactful is that it almost feels prolonged, right? Like, 7 weeks is a long time. But to just remember not only what we have forgotten, but that it's not just about the knowledge of the thing. It's not just about, you know, understanding the logistics of the gospel. It is about understanding that we need the person of Jesus, who he is, what he did for us on our behalf, living on our behalf, dying on our behalf, and raising. It's the first fruits of the resurrection. That's right. And so this person that we've been reading about and in awe of over the past hour is the person who will walk to the cross for us next week in Holy Week.
Yeah.
And die the death that our sin deserved.
That's right.
And then raised to live again, is alive now, sitting at the right hand of the Father. That's him.
It's good to remember that at the end of this week, and y'all listening, you'll get there. We'll read about the triumphal entry, and this is headed somewhere. This is not a story that just keeps on going with ministry. The real act of ministry is yet to come. That's where we're headed for next week. But Alexa, I would love, in day 18, there is a passage from Philippians 2. The subtitle is typically something like, in the CSB, it is Christ's humility and exaltation, but it feels like a really good transition for us from this week into next week. Would you read that for us?
Yes. Where is it? Philippians where?
Philippians 2, 5 through 11.
Okay. So this is Philippians 2, 5 through 11, and it's the NIV version. In your relationships with one another, have the same mindset as Christ Jesus, who, being in very nature God, did not consider equality with God something to be used to his own advantage. Rather, he made himself nothing by taking the very nature of a servant, being made in human likeness, and being found in appearance as a man. He humbled himself by becoming obedient to death, even death on a cross. Therefore, God exalted him to the highest place and gave him the name that is above every name, that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow, in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue acknowledge that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father.
That's such a beautiful way to end our week. Amen. Or to end this episode. So I guess we're at the start of the week, but my goodness.
Gosh, it's so good.
That's our Savior, y'all.
That is our Savior.
That's my other t-shirt. That's our Savior, y'all.
That's a lot of comma, y'all.
The transfiguration, y'all.
Y'all.
Girls, you guys are amazing. What you guys do is amazing. I could talk about verses and Jesus and faith all day long. I love it. It fills my heart.
Such a good way to start the day. Thank you for doing this. Thank you for giving us your time. And just, I love to walk away just mutually encouraged.
Yeah. Yeah. Amen. Thank you so much.
Amen. Mm-hmm.
You being a woman in the Word of God every day encourages so many of us to continue on and being a woman in the Word of God every day. So we're just so grateful to be in fellowship with you in that way. It's just really special.
That's right. That's right.
I love you, girls. I love you. I know you don't know me very well, but I just love you. I have so much love for you.
Well, likewise. Friends listening, we love y'all too. This is your cue. Go be a woman in the Word of God every day this week. Open your Bibles, open your reading guides, open the book of Matthew, the Gospel of Matthew, and read these stories and more that we've talked about in this episode. This is just the starting point. So you get to go read it for yourselves this week. So that's my encouragement. Come back next week. We've got a great guest for Holy Week. But until next week, Alexa, what do we tell our friends?
Keep opening your Bibles, y'all.